Invite you to take your Bibles now and turn back to the Gospel of Luke, and keep those Bibles open to the Gospel of Luke, because we are going to be jumping around a little bit in all of the Gospel of Luke. Tonight I'm going to begin by reading Luke 11, 1 through 13, and then I'm going to read a medley of other verses from Luke. And the common theme will be Jesus praying. Not so much Jesus teaching about prayer, although we'll get some of that in Luke 11, but Jesus actually praying himself. And our goal tonight, and this is going to be a unique sermon, our goal is going to be to look at Jesus praying and see what we can learn from his actual prayer. And so this is going to be more of a survey, kind of a bird's eye view, looking at the instances of Jesus at prayer and gathering some of those examples and seeing what we can learn from it. And so bear with me as we bounce around a little bit in Luke tonight in a somewhat unique way. But I do think this is a fruitful study for us, even if it's perhaps somewhat unique. There is a simple outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along that way. But let's start by hearing God's word from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 13, and then I'll tell you where we're going from there. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him"? And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That's where I'll end the reading in verse in Luke 11. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 5, just 2 verses, verse 15 and 16 of Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, verse 15 and 16. "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." And now turn forward to Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Luke 6, 12 and 13. "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles." Now turn with me towards the end of Luke's gospel to Luke 22. Just a few more verses that we'll look at here. Luke 22, beginning at verse 39. Luke Luke 22, 39 through 46. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray, that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then finally, a few verses from chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 32 through 34. And then two more verses after that. Luke 23, beginning at verse 32. Jesus is now on the cross. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And then finally, verse 42 through 46 of this chapter. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. That's all that I'm going to read for us. Keep your finger there in Luke's gospel. Let's pray, though, and ask for God's help as we consider this tonight. Father in heaven, we do ask that, as the disciples of Jesus asked, that you would teach us to pray, and specifically that you would teach us to pray from our praying Savior tonight. Lord, this is not the typical sermon or the typical way we would approach a gospel, but Lord, I pray that you would have lessons for us in this tonight. I pray that you would fix our eyes with faith on Jesus, trusting in him and learning from him, and that we might be more and more a people of prayer conformed to his image. We do pray this, we ask this, and seek this, and knock, seeking your favor and your answer. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus didn't just teach prayer, he practiced it. And really, it was his practice of prayer that prompted this question from his disciples. They had seen him praying. They witnessed his life of prayer. And they wanted to learn from him. And so they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I want us to ask that same question together tonight as we look at the Gospel of Luke and Jesus praying. I want to look more closely at his practice of prayer, as if we were his disciples, and observe him praying for several years, and ask the question, what was his practice of prayer? How did he practice prayer, and what can we learn from it? In answering that question, as I've already said, we're going to take a bird's eye view, a survey approach to Luke. Because more than any other gospel, Luke seems to go out of his way to show Jesus both teaching and practicing prayer. There are multiple examples of Jesus' prayer in Luke that are not recorded in the other gospels. Luke begins in chapter 1, verse 10, and closes in chapter 24, verse 53, with prayer. Luke records at least 13 instances of Jesus praying, and almost half a dozen instances of Jesus teaching about prayer, including the Lord's Prayer, the shortened version that we read tonight, and several parables on prayer. Luke also seems to really emphasize the central role of prayer in his book of Acts. Now, as we take this unique approach tonight, we need to remember, of course, that Jesus is not a mere example. He is not a mere example for prayer or for the Christian life. His purpose was not primarily to be a good example, and his life wasn't primarily about what he teaches us to do. It's primarily what he has done for us. And yet, while he is not first and foremost our example, he still is. And he is the best example. He is the one and only perfect man. And we are being made into his image. We are to learn from him. We are to be his disciples, students of Christ. Not just of his theology, but of his life. As children of God united to Christ, Luke gives us a clear picture of a prayer life that we ought to emulate. That must be our aim as sons of God, to pray like the Son of God. He's the one that made prayer possible. He taught us to pray. He practiced prayer. And so let us follow his example and be a people of prayer as he was. Well, as we ask the Lord to teach us to pray, we want to note tonight the characteristics of his life of prayer. What were his habits? How might we describe or summarize the prayer of Jesus, and what can we learn from that? And to do that, I want to ask just four simple questions this evening. When, where, why, and how? When, where, why, and how? And so let's jump into the Gospel of Luke with those four simple questions seeking to learn from Christ. First of all, when did Jesus pray? When did Jesus pray? If you survey Luke, Luke gives us a range of many different occasions and times when Jesus turned to his Father in prayer. Now, chapter 4, verse 42 says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place." Now, this text itself doesn't state that he prayed, but I think it's very likely that he did, given his practice of withdrawing to pray, as we'll see more of tonight. Then in Luke chapter 6, we find Jesus praying at night and actually all through the night. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent all night praying to God. Jesus' prayer on the Mount of Olives in chapter 23, just before his arrest, was also at night. Luke also mentions Jesus praying during the day. His baptism in chapter 3 is one such example. Another is before his teaching on the Lord's Prayer that we read already, likely during the day, even though it's not specified. Luke also records for us Jesus praying before meals. And the most well known is his giving thanks at the Last Supper in chapter 22. And then finally, and most significantly, the last time of day we see Jesus praying is while he's on the cross, at the very height of his suffering, while his Father is forsaking him and pouring out his wrath on him, Jesus is praying. He's prayerfully enduring it, praying for the forgiveness of others, which is a staggering prayer. And then ultimately at the end, committing his spirit into the hands of his Father in prayer. And so in summary, we could really say that we find Christ praying at all times, in the light and in the dark, during the day and during the night, at high points and at the very lowest points, in both routine times and extreme times. And it raises the question for us tonight, what about you? When do you pray? Do you take the opportunity to pray at all different times, all throughout the day, different occasions throughout the day or throughout your life? Do you pray at daybreak? Do you pray before or during trials like Jesus did, or to resist temptation? Do you give thanks for your bread when you eat? This is a common tradition, but it can become easily routine and thoughtless. But it's something we see Jesus doing. Jesus made it a point to take time during his busy ministry and his full days to withdraw and to pray. He had crowds constantly pressing on him, many people to care for, the poor, the sick, the hungry to minister to, disciples to teach, children to love, sermons to preach, and he only had a short time of public ministry. And yet he knew the great necessity of prayer. I think we often value comfort and rest and our schedules more than communion with the Father and prayer and the advance of the kingdom. Well, Jesus' life was marked by prayer really at all times and all occasions, day and night. And friends, will you learn from when Christ prayed? Will you pray as he did, when he did, at all times? Well, that leads us to the second question tonight, and that is where? Where did Jesus pray? You're not going to be surprised by what we find here, but Jesus prayed in all different places. Luke shows us that there were a variety of locations where Jesus prayed. He prayed in public, and he prayed in private. He prayed at times when his disciples could see him. And he prompts them to ask this question, Lord, teach us to pray. He prayed indoors and he prayed outdoors. He prayed on mountains. He prayed by rivers. And one of the themes that shows up again and again in Jesus' prayer life, I've already touched on it before, is how often it was secluded and private. Luke writes in chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, "Now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray." Other versions will say he would withdraw to lonely places or to the wilderness. Jesus would go to where he could get away from the crowds, where he could find quiet and peace and be alone with his Father and focus and pray. Chapter 6, verse 12, he went out to the mountain to pray. Again, in chapter 9, verse 18, Luke says, "Once when Jesus was praying alone," or praying in private. The night of his betrayal on the Mount of Olives, Luke writes that Jesus withdrew. He stepped aside from others in order to kneel and pray. What we see as we look at the life of Jesus praying is that he was deliberate about finding such times and places that he could commit himself to unrestricted periods of prayer. He loved to speak to his Father all alone, and he made very conscious efforts to get times and find places without distraction to do so. And I think this is something that we certainly need to learn from in the life of Christ and his prayer, from how Christ would withdraw from all the pressures and distractions in order to pray. He valued it so much so that he would go to be alone to pray. But it was actually there that he was most at home. And in fact, really not alone, because he was communing with his Father. I think perhaps more than any other generation, we need this. We are a distracted people with constant sound and information and entertainment always before us. We are a very busy people. Many of us live in a crowded, loud, fast-paced world. And so we may need to look all the more to this particular part of Christ's prayer life, his example here. We need to seek private communion with God amidst the busy distractions of this life. This means you may have to find places where you can regularly withdraw and pray. Maybe you'll have to get up early or turn off your screens or silence your notifications in order to spend time in prayer. Maybe think about scheduling a time once a week or once a month, somewhere to go and get alone and pray to God. It's not very common today. It might be seen as strange, but we have the example here, repeated example of Jesus. And what better example, what better way to spend our time? Will you learn from Christ to pray at all times and in all different places, but especially where you can pray in quiet without distraction? Well, that's when Jesus prayed, where he prayed. But let's now look at why Jesus prayed and what he prayed for. Let's consider that third tonight. Why did Jesus pray? Well, Jesus prayed because he was on a mission. He had been set apart. He had been sent to earth from the Father to seek and to save the lost, as he tells us in Luke 19. He was here to live a perfect life, to die a substitutionary death, an atoning death on the cross, and rise again. And he understood his most pivotal role in all history, in redemptive history. He understood that he had to submit himself to the will of his Father. He had to fulfill all righteousness. He had to be a true son of God and a true Israelite, the perfect mediator between God and man. This was an enormous task and calling as the Messiah. And to do this, Jesus depended on his Father by the Holy Spirit through prayer. He was constantly in prayer, seeking God's help and his strength. He taught his disciples to ask the Father for daily bread, for the forgiveness of sins, to lead them not into temptation, and he practiced that himself. He practiced and taught his disciples to pray as children to a good Father with persistence and with faith, as in the parable that we read tonight in chapter 11, to ask and seek and knock. How much more will the Heavenly Father give? Jesus prayed before big events in his life. We saw that in chapter 6, verse 12, as he spent the whole night in prayer before calling his disciples. We find him praying before his arrest on the Mount of Olives in chapter 22. He's dreading the cup of wrath that he's about to drink on the cross. And yet he prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus knew exactly what lay ahead, and yet he wanted his Father's will, not his own. That same night, in the same location, he prayed for Peter that he wouldn't fall into temptation. Later in that same chapter, Jesus urged the disciples to pray that you will not fall into temptation. And so prayer was pivotal for Jesus in facing the temptation. And we know he was tempted in every way and yet was without sin. He also utters the staggering prayer for forgiveness for his executioners from the cross that we've already mentioned. And we even find Christ praying and committing his spirit to God as he breathes his last from the cross. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And we could go on and on. But the takeaway here is to simply be challenged and encouraged by this, to be moved and motivated by the manner of his prayer. Prayer was not a leisurely, haphazard undertaking for Jesus. It wasn't something he did to check off on his holiness list. It wasn't some mindless habit. It was purposeful, powerful, emotional. It consumed him. It was of great necessity for him to fulfill his calling. How else would he have spent a whole night in prayer? even on the cross at the very height of his agony. He does that which he's so often done in life. He prays. He turns to the Father. He had this task, this role from the Father, and he needed help to do it. He needed the help of God, of the Holy Spirit, to be Savior. And none of you have this calling. None of us have this special role. But each one of us is called by our Father to be his sons and daughters, to live for his glory, for his kingdom. We're called to live as faithful men and women and children, faithful husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, employees, friends. All of us are called to take up our cross and follow him and lay down our life for him and for others. And none of us can do this on our own. And so all of us needs to turn to the Father, to call upon him like Christ for help. Will you go to the Father for help like Jesus did? Do you pray with such urgency and dependence as Jesus, needing strength from God, focused on a mission like Christ? Will your life be marked by prayer, submitting to and depending on your Father? Well, so far we've seen Jesus prayed for many different things, at many different places, at many different times. But finally tonight, I want to ask, how did Jesus pray? What was his posture in prayer? What were his prayers like? Let's consider that fourth and finally tonight. How did Jesus pray? We know from surveying Luke that Jesus prayed both short prayers and long prayers. We've seen he prayed his way all through an entire night, and he would pray briefly before meals and even very brief one-sentence prayers from the cross. We know that he knelt in prayer on the Mount of Olives, whereas the usual posture of prayer for Jewish prayer was standing. At that point, kneeling seems to express something of his anguish and his submission to the Father. And Luke says on this occasion, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. There was a fervency and an earnestness to Jesus' prayer. He was truly speaking to God, pouring out his heart. Hebrews 5, verse 7 through 10 speaks to the manner of Christ's prayer that's consistent with what we see in Luke. The author of Hebrews writes, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Along with the fervency and submission of Christ's prayer, we find him exhorting others to pray with humility. Chapter 18, verse 9 and following. And Jesus practiced what he preached, and so it's not naive to assume that he too was humble in his prayers. In fact, the very posture of the heart in true prayer is one of humility. And we see this in his prayer before his death. Remember, he wanted not his own will, but the will of his Father, even though that meant death and humiliation for him. Jesus also taught persistence in prayer in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. And remember, he persisted through a whole night of prayer. And he practiced persistent, continual prayer throughout his earthly ministry. And so we find him praying throughout the whole Gospel of Luke. Now again, of course, Jesus had a most unique and infinitely important task given to him from his Father. He faced trials and judgment and suffering we can't even imagine as the sin bearer, as our Savior. And yet we can learn from his earnest, submissive, tearful prayer. We have a Savior who sympathizes with our weaknesses. We have a Savior who sympathizes with our pain, both physical and spiritual and emotional. A Savior who understands the weight of sin and judgment. And what did He do under all this weight and amidst all this pain and suffering? What did He do? He turned again and again to His Father in prayer, in earnest, heartfelt prayer. And there was a point when the Father turned His back on Him, and He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Brothers and sisters, when you face trials and agony and temptation and pain and suffering and death and whatever it may be, because of Christ and like Christ, you can cry out to the Father and He will never turn His back on you, because He turned His back on Jesus. And so do this. Cry out to the Lord. Pray like Christ. Pray with faith. Pray with fervency, knowing that your Father loves you and hears you and helps you. Well, that is a very quick bird's eye view survey of Jesus at prayer in the book of Luke. We've considered when, where, why, and how Jesus prayed. And I just want to summarize what we've seen briefly in the life of our praying Savior as we close. Christ was a man of prayer. From beginning to end, His life was marked by humble dependence on His Father, seeking His Father's will, seeking His Father's help in prayer. He was disciplined in His communion with the Lord, often withdrawing from others to pray alone in quiet places. He wasn't afraid to rise early or to stay up late in order to pray. He prayed in an emotional, fervent manner at times. He prayed in public and He prayed in private. He prayed for Himself and He prayed for others. He prayed before significant events and through great trials. He taught and He practiced prayer. Jesus' life was a life of prayer. And Scripture teaches repeatedly that believers are to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And we are to have the same attitude as Jesus. Paul urged the Corinthians to follow his example as he followed Christ's. Jesus is consistently held up, not only as the object of your faith, but also as the example for your faith. The perfect example and model of faith and life for the believer. And like His disciples, we need to look to Christ to be taught how to pray, this most vital aspect of living a life of faith. And if Jesus, the Son of God, needed prayer, how much more do you and I, sinful, needy, weak people? Prayer didn't have a small role in His life. Prayer was His life. Can that be said of your life? Are your lives marked by prayer? Fix your eyes on Christ and look to Him in faith and ask, Lord, teach me to pray. And as we finish up tonight, I want you to consider how Jesus is the great priest, prophet, and king of prayer. Jesus is our great high priest, so He is the one who has made prayer possible. He is the one who's restored our relationship with God through His life and death and shed blood and resurrection. He has saved us so that we can go back to the garden, as it were, before sin and speak to God as Adam and Eve did as they walked and talked with Him in the cool of the day. Through Him, you can now enter boldly into the presence of the Holy God. And He is even right now praying for us as our great high priest. He's the great prophet of prayer, teaching us how to pray, giving us the model Lord's Prayer, teaching us to pray in his parables, preaching on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, and teaching us by example. And finally, he's our great king, conquering our enemies, answering our prayers, conquering sin and death, bringing us into his kingdom, bringing us into his kingdom of life, into fellowship with God, leading us in prayer, giving us an example. He has set the example for us how to pray as a son to a father at any hour, in any place, on any occasion. And what a privilege and what an example. And so let us fix our eyes on our priest and prophet and king, on our praying Savior, the author and perfecter of our faith. And let us pray. Let us truly ask him as his disciples did, Lord, teach us to pray. And then let us watch and learn and pray as he did. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, this was a lot to take in. But we pray that you would teach us to pray. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Give us eyes to see you at prayer, living by faith as the God-man. Let us trust in you for life and for salvation, and let us look to you to be taught how to live by faith and how to live by prayer. Father, we do confess that often we are too busy and too distracted. Often we do not trust in you and don't turn to prayer as we ought. So we ask that you'd forgive us by the work of Christ and teach us to pray as he did. Conform us to his image. Make us a people of prayer, even as our Savior was a man of prayer, and even as he prays for us even now. Lord, we do pray this all in his name. Amen. Let's respond to God.